What's going on, guys? Dr. Danny here. I want to thank you so much for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. One of the most common questions that I get is, how did you start a practice in a gym? And because of that, I've put together a course called the Gym PT Blueprint, which shows you exactly how to start, run, and grow a successful practice in a gym. If you're a new PT, if you're a new grad, if you're a PT that's just started a practice in the gym, you're not making more than $12,000 a month yet, this course is perfect for you. It'll teach you how to set it up correctly. It'll teach you how to market yourself correctly, how to sell correctly, you know, how to actually build a true business and not just a little side business that maybe doesn't take you anywhere and change you and your family's life long term. So if you're interested in this model of a practice, guys, head to drdannymatei.com/products and you can take a look at the Gym PT Blueprint and everything that goes into it at that location. Thanks so much for listening.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and I've got a buddy of mine is a PT student. I think he's locked in his classroom. He can't get out, but he's going to do the podcast. It's David Cho, PT student from Georgia State, which is Rexy. Dude, you're probably a mile from me right now from where I live. Yep. Yep. And from where we should have just gotten together. This digital stuff, though, makes it so easy. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. How's school?
You know, right now it's great. Third year, man, I'm sure most of us PT students in my scenario, man, we're kind of coasting towards the end right now, getting closer to our last rotations and whatnot. But other than that, I mean, it's much better than first 2 years, I'll say that. So
where's your last rotation going to be?
It's actually going to be at a private practice over in Duluth.
And this is in network or out of network base? Like, what's the style of practice?
You know, I'm actually not sure. You know, technically, I don't know if you're familiar with all the rules and stuff when it comes to Danny, but so we actually have to. I'm sorry about all this noise.
Don't worry about it, man. Georgia State.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up.
Georgia State. Sorry. So we're not really allowed to contact our clinic rotation sites too early ahead of time for certain things, especially with my case because I actually set up a new contract with them. So this was kind of like a shot in the dark. They didn't have any connection with Georgia State or any students before me. So me just going out there and kind of just hoping for it, I wasn't able to really get in contact with them and talk to them about in-network, out-of-network kind of stuff. But I do know it's a private practice, and I do think they take insurance. So I'm assuming it's in-network for most part, but could be only certain insurances. So you know how that goes.
Cool.
So.
No, well, I want to give you guys an emphasis for why we're having this chat. And it's so David was at a course that I was teaching with a buddy of mine. It's kind of pain-free weightlifting. Course is over exaggeration. It was a little workshop. It was a little two-hour workshop on the snatch and how to improve the snatch. And so he was there, and we've gotten together on multiple occasions before and chatted about some of this stuff. He's interested in the model like that we do at Athletes Potential. And we started chatting about what he was going to do going forward. And you know, I said, you know what, dude? I bet there are a lot of PT students just like you that are, you know, out there that have the same questions. So let's do a podcast on it. So let's do this. What would be your ideal scenario in terms of like what setting to work in after you graduate?
Man, ideal scenario honestly would be like a MOG, you know, a medically oriented kind of gym, something that you talk about all the time, opening up a practice inside an already established gym, just kind of separating, you know, myself from that typical clinic setting. You know, I always tell myself I hate to see myself wearing slacks and a polo shirt every day.
Oh my God. Same. I hear you.
That, yeah, so that's my ideal scenario would be definitely like a medically oriented kind of gym setting.
What if they made you wear pleated pants every day? They're like, don't show up unless you have pleats on, bro.
Man, you know what? If it's the right setting, then you know what? I'll wear what they want me to wear. But for the most part, I just don't want to stay in that certain, I guess, cliche setting that we always had experience with.
So. Look, do you have to tuck your shirt in to know what you're talking about?
Exactly, man.
I haven't tucked my shirt in years. Well, I guess unless I had to when I was in the Army. So it's been a few years. But I think you're like many other people out there that are PTs, are PT students at this point, that have a background in strength and conditioning. I know you're into the strong first work, you know, a lot of kettlebell stuff, which is awesome. Olympic weightlifting, you know, training of all different sorts, whether it be CrossFit or powerlifting or whatever it is, the actual like programming back end side of it. You fall into this unique hybrid model and you're in physical therapy school, but you're still learning all these other things. Like you did your strong first certification how long ago?
It's been a few months. It was just earlier this year.
So. Okay. So strong first certified, and that's a unique combination. I would hate for that to get wasted on some, I don't know, workers' comp population that has a 2-year long ankle sprain and you're trying to get him to do like single leg kettlebell deadlifts or whatever. So, okay. What do you think the, I guess, barriers are to you being able to do that?
You know, I think it's just that fear. I know that you've talked about this in a lot of your other podcasts, but just kind of like that fear of failure. And then just being unsure of like those first initial steps of what we do. Like once we get out of school, because most of the time, you know, the corporate places and the larger hospital places, they'll come looking for us. And yep. It's, you know, that's the easy, technically, that's the easier way for us because it's like someone else comes to find us. But in my situation, it's more like I'm trying to go find someone else, you know, like it's kind of like reverse for me. I'm just kind of going out there and really trying to see, you know, can I make this happen? Do I have someone that I can come in contact with that's willing to help me establish like what I want to see in my setting kind of a thing, like what my dream would be? So I think the challenge is mainly just not knowing for sure, just not having that certainty. Like that certainty is great to have, you know, kind of control of life. You know, you always want to know what's going to happen, but
sure,
you know, in certain situations like this, you know, we just don't know. So I think that's the scariest part, at least for me personally.
So, okay, is this something where you're interested in exclusively? I want to start my own thing. I want to go down that route. Or are you looking for? Okay, well, it would also be cool if I could work in this model, but for somebody else. Or which one is it? Or is it both?
You know, it's a little bit of both. I loved your entrepreneur podcast that you just did. I thought that was an awesome idea. And it's kind of along the lines of where I wanted to go maybe initially.
Yeah.
I wanted to have like a mentor, really someone that's been experienced, really, I believe in their system and the way that they treat patients and whatnot and the setting that they're in. So it would be great if I could kind of latch on to them for a little while. Help build their business through, like you said, entrepreneurship, really helping expand their different services and skills that they can bring to the table. And then from there, I'm hoping that they trust me enough and they'd respect me enough to kind of break off whenever I needed to do my own thing. So that's kind of like the ideal thing for me right now.
I think that's a valid route for a lot of students, man. And you know, with your background, one of the things that might be worth looking into, or anybody that has a similar background to David, is training people on the side, right? So like here's a interesting model that I've seen work pretty well on a couple occasions when people are students. And, you know, you basically go and work for whatever practice that it is that you get a job with, and typically they're going to be in network. And there's definitely some pros to that. Like you get a lot of reps in. You see a lot of weird shit, and you see a lot of volume. So it can help in that first year, but you can start training people on the side. And it's a natural fit, especially for somebody that's, you know, kettlebell training like you are, to kind of catch those people. And then you started to really develop this population of people that have worked with you and are used to paying you out of pocket to train them. I mean, I know kettlebell trainers that in Atlanta make $120 an hour, you know, like right, coaches, yeah. They're really sure. Good coaches. That's a lot of money. That's close to what a lot of cash PT, cash PTs are charging. And you already have the security of kind of working for another company for a short period of time. You know, so, what are your parents like, dude? Are they like pretty strict? Do you think imagine I'm like your dad. Okay, son, I just went to school for 7 years and you wanted to teach kettlebell shit? What?
Yeah, so they
what's
definitely
that like?
Might be like, what was all that money spent over then? But I think my parents, I'm lucky enough to where they trust me enough to as long as I can like kind of explain to them, like, this is my idea, this is where I'm trying to go, they support me. So I'm lucky in that regard. Now, that being said, you know, I'm pretty sure if I just straight up told them, hey, you know what? I went through all this schooling for PT. I actually don't want to do anything related to PT. I think that won't go over too well.
No.
But I think, like you said, you know, if I'm willing, if I'm able to kind of do that kind of stuff through another, through someone else initially, while I'm still practicing, which is technically my goal, you know, obviously I don't want to lose. I obviously don't want to stop doing PT. I mean, human performance is what I love to do. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm lucky in that regard. I think they'd support me in that way. But as long as I didn't just straight up say, hey, no more PT, this is it. You know, I just went to school for nothing. So
that'd be great. You know what? I want to be a strength coach.
Like, exactly.
God, like, you're an overeducated.
I made a mistake. I went into all this debt. I'm sorry. But
yeah, I'm just going to swing cannonballs around. But I mean, like, the reality is, I mean, that's kind of the direction you have to look. And I think we can learn a lot of things from the personal training community. In particular, the ability to sell yourself, the ability to have a cash service, and packaging your services too, kind of marketing yourself. So I see that as a really good way for a student to start to develop that skill set that's very similar to a cash PT model. Now, the problem is, though, in many cases, you don't learn much of this in school. And I don't even know, you know, at Georgia State, I'm not familiar with their curriculum. Do you guys get any sort of business education curriculum or electives or anything like that?
We do. It's obviously not as extensive as, you know, maybe it should be. But
sure.
Of course, we do get one course actually based on, you know, insurance, building a business plan. We actually, like for one of our projects, we actually had to come up with our own, like as a group, we come up with our own basically PT practice from the ground up. So that goes into the whole, like, you know, buying land, ownership of stuff, all the prices of everything, figuring out like different insurance policies and like, you know, that. So that was a pretty extensive project. It was good. And I'm glad, I really appreciate our professor for doing that for us, because he's also at, he still treats on the side as well. And he owns his own private practice. So that was helpful for sure.
Oh, cool.
Coming from his perspective. And I know it's a lot more than maybe what other programs might give to their students. So we're definitely lucky in that regard. But, you know, in all honesty, you know, just because we did that one project, it's not like we can just hop out of school and be like, hey, I can do this in the real world right now. Like, I'm comfortable. I know exactly what I got to do. So, but that being said, yeah, we did get some exposure to it. So, yeah, we're happy about
that. Did your say, find a room with no windows in a CrossFit gym, pay very little rent, and just...
Yeah.
Teach. Yeah. That's your business plan. That was my business plan.
You know, not to give any of our secrets away, but our group, we actually decided on like a travel kind of a PT.
Oh, like, a little concierge, like
So it's like, yeah, exactly, a concierge, but we'd treat out of different CrossFit gyms around the area.
Okay.
Not to steal away from you, Danny, or anything like
no,
that.
No, do your thing, man. There's a lot of people. Yeah. Here, you know, but that's a viable model too. I mean, you know, what's to stop you guys from doing that? Like, what literally, what would hold you back from doing that?
You know, I think it's, first of all, just trying to, I mean, dude, because we, just being students, maybe our confidence level in ourselves isn't as high. So,
like your skill set? You mean like your clinical skill set or?
Yeah, clinical skill set, not so much there, but more just like, I guess, notoriety. I know that sounds silly, but there are already established people like you and other, PTs out there that kind of do. They really do cater towards the CrossFit community within Atlanta.
Sure.
And I totally understand that it's a huge community. There's plenty of gyms.
Yeah.
But, you know, that being said, it would be a challenge for us initially just coming out of school and just being like, hey, you know, we're brand new and this is what we want to do. But, you know, we know that you've already been exposed to someone as great as Danny or whoever else is out there right now. So, that being said, like, I think that might have been like our initial like hesitancy, but there's definitely, it was definitely an exciting idea, and we were actually really contemplating, like, you know what, man? Like, maybe we could actually do this as a group, you know? Like, we're great friends with each other. Why not, you know?
Yeah.
So,
how many people?
We had, oh, my gosh, I don't want to leave out anyone. I think four or five? I think we had four or five.
Four or five?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people in a business partnership.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. So, It definitely wasn't an equal partnership. I'll say that. Like, we kind of had like different roles. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, like, it's good.
Yeah. One guy would kind of be more like the, you know, the head guy, but he wouldn't necessarily be too much treatment wise and whatnot. And a couple of us wanted to do more of like the hands-on treatment, while others wanted to kind of be more of the business side of it. So,
I mean, what you're talking about in some ways is just the ability to get rejected, I think. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, I get rejected all the time.
Don't lie to me.
My wife. No, man, I'm serious. And I tell you, when we first started, what was interesting is I didn't know a single person in the city. You know, I aside from my wife's family, who, you know, they're not connected within the communities that we were trying to build a business in by any means. And they were, it's not like they were helpful. So, you know, we really didn't know anybody that would be helpful in the city. And I don't know. I think the fear of rejection is normal, but also it's more overblown than it actually is, right? Like, so I just got rejected on an email about 10 minutes ago. So it was about like getting one of our PTs into a different satellite clinic. And cool, on to the next one. Not a big deal. But if you know, but I understand the first time that happens, it's sort of like kind of crushes you, you know, and you're. It's hard. So you know, how are you going to deal with that? Because it's going to happen. If you're going to go into business, like, you got to be able to just not give a fuck so much about like what people say.
Yeah, you know, I and this could be me personally, because I'm, you know, maybe some of my other friends in the group, they probably are, maybe they have a little more confidence than I do in this regard. But that being said, I mean, like, I think if we had some kind of like established like cash flow ahead of time, or just like I think the scariest part would be like, all right, so if we had just gone out there right now and we're just like struggling to get anyone to say yes to us initially, that's the scary part, right? Because we, you know, we decided to build this thing and then it's just not clicking. And I know that that's typically how it's going to happen for most businesses, but at least if I was coming from, say if I was working with somebody first or under someone first, maybe not in a corporate setting, of course, but like a private guy that could be my mentor. From there, at least I had that to kind of like build my base off of. And then if I could start to branch out and try these entrepreneurship kind of things, and if failure did occur, I'd feel much more like, oh, you know what? Like, that's okay. Like, I can move on to the next thing because I've still got this going on right now for me. But then, so I can always fall back on that, even if I keep getting all these no's coming at me initially. But going out there just like, without anything to back us up to support us, and then just getting all these no's, man, that's super scary for us. I mean, I know you know this, everyone does, but man, like, debt comes calling quick, and you know, all of us are starting families soon, so it can get really scary once you know, if we're just going out there with nothing to support us. So.
Totally can, but it's important to talk this out, because you know, if you think about it, all right, let's say for a year you worked part time at like a, I don't know, some PRN job or something like that. And during the week, so you worked every Saturday, Sunday or whatever, two, three days a week. And the rest of the time you just got after it and tried to, you know, build this practice as quickly and as well as you could. What's the worst thing in your mind you think could happen?
I mean, when you put it that way, man, it doesn't sound that bad. again, though, it's nice to have that PRN thing, at least
sure,
to support you while you're trying to do this endeavor. But yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, that sounds awesome. Like that almost like, as soon, it was weird. As soon as you were saying these things, like, I got really excited all of a sudden. I was like, oh my gosh, like, dude, that's awesome. Like, why don't I do that? Like, I can totally do that like right now. You know, it's just like, yeah. That's interesting that you just simple things like that. And yeah, it's a good idea.
You could, right? I mean, and it's this is you know, I had this conversation with a friend of mine whenever we opened Athlete's Potential, and you know, I was like, man, if it doesn't work out, I'm gonna bankrupt my family, and we're gonna be broke. And I got, you know, and I had like two, I still have two small kids, but they were really small at the time. Like, Maggie was only, I think, 6 months old, you know, our youngest daughter. And, and my friend, I remember telling him this stuff and he just starts laughing at me. And I'm like, what are you laughing about, dude? Like, I'm seriously stressing out over here, you know? And he's like, Danny, you're just making up you know, the catastrophe that it would never happen. You know, he's like, you could literally fail for a year, blow through some savings, and go get a job making good money, you know, the next day. There's always a need for, you know, good PTs. And when he told me that, I was like, you know what? He's right. And not only that, but everything he told me was, if you're not going to do it now, when are you going to do it? Like, is there going to be a better time? Not really. You know, and for you guys, and for any student really listening to this, I'm not necessarily talking, you know, specifically to David when I say this, but if you think that you can ruin your life by taking a year and getting rejected a lot and making, you know, whatever, minimal to no money, it's not going to happen. You know, you don't make any money right now, and you're a student.
It's true.
You literally just are accumulating loans. That's it. You know, so yeah, I think the idea of taking a job you don't really like while you work on the job that you do really like is a good way to, you know, to go about it. But, you know, what resources, what information do you feel like you don't have that you would need to be successful in a cash PT model?
Man, you know, I think just overall, I think, well, definitely one is, I guess, a sales experience because, you know, like you said, like selling your worth is really important. And
yeah.
I know, you know, I experienced this personally, you know, just when I was doing my own like personal training on the side and whatnot. But, you know, like you kind of want to like make your price like, and you talk about this all the time. You make your prices like, oh, like if I say this, is that going to be too much?
Yeah.
So it's like, am I worth that? Like, is my time worth that to this person? And you kind of feel bad about it almost. And I hate that because like, yeah, you should definitely like value yourself more. And that could just be an intrinsic thing personally. But, so that like definitely like working on sales, being able to sell myself. I think, man, just, being able to talk to people, being able to talk to other business owners that maybe have like a long-standing business, and then being able to come in and just be like, hey, look, like this is my idea. Like, are you willing to listen to me as this new grad, this guy with very little experience coming out? Are you willing to give me the time? So I think maybe I don't know. Like, business con ed is a huge thing. I know that. You know, a lot of other smart guys in the industry always talk about, like, you know, your con ed shouldn't just be physical therapy based. You know, you should be broadening your skills and trying to learn other things to help promote yourself and help develop business skills that way. So, you know, that's a great question, though, man, because, I mean, sometimes, like, it's funny, like, we don't honestly, or maybe this is just me, but it's hard to think about all these things while you're going through school. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's so many other pressures, and especially with life getting, you know, as you get older, you know, life comes a calling. Like you said, you had kids at the time. You know, I'm trying to get married soon. So it's tough to like wrap your mind around all these things sometimes while all these other things are going on. So,
so you're engaged right now or you're,
I am. Yeah.
Okay.
Am.
Okay. Is your fiance a physical therapist as well?
No, she's a nurse.
Perfect. So
she's kicking,
perfect.
Yeah, she's kicking butt and like, oh, man, she's working so hard.
So she has an income?
She does.
Fuck
she
yeah,
does
dude! There you go, boom.
No man, it's
you got a sugar mama. You don't even need another job, man.
Oh, it's a pride thing, man. Come on, you don't want to like make your wife be the only bread earner. So,
I don't know. Speak for yourself. That'd be awesome. God, man, I'd be just in such good shape. I'd just be fucking working out all the time. No, seriously though, you got to think about that stuff too, because it's, you know, that's now here's the other thing. Okay, so now you're in the situation where I want to do this. Maybe it's a little bit risky, but well, now you got a partner in crime. You got somebody that has to understand and accept what you're trying to do. And I'm trying to get my wife on this podcast with me. This has been. I've tried to get her on Doc and Jock for 2.5 years and it has not worked, but I am really close to getting her on this podcast so I can talk to her about being married to an entrepreneur and the lifestyle. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm going to tell her you said that because I think it's going to help push the needle forward and get Ashley on here. It's going
to
happen.
Tell her we're like people like me, we're desperate to hear this information. Like, it's true, okay. Man. It's sometimes it can be kind of scary to be like, Hey babe, like, listen,
yes.
I've been in school, I've been accruing debt and now I want to try this kind of scary thing that
sure.
might not work out. So
And that's the thing. You have to have, you have to communicate what you're doing and your vision and, you know, what your goals are with your spouse. Because if you don't, you working a bunch of hours and, I mean, I remember, the first year or so that I was working, we started our practice. And this is just reality, man. If you're going to start a business, it's not easy and it's time consuming. There's no business that I've ever found or been around was easy, unless you just inherited your dad's like plumbing business. Right. Good for you. You didn't fucking do shit. You just got your dad's business. So you're working hard, man. I mean, like you're talking, I would wake up early. I would go work. I would go connect with people, whatever, different meetings and stuff. I'd come back. I'd help Ashley with dinner and get the kids to bed. We'd sit there and hang out for a little bit. And then she would go to sleep. She goes to sleep early. She's kind of a dork. And then I would actually stay up and do work after she went to sleep. And then I'd wake up before her and I'd start all over again. And if someone's not on the same page with that, you're talking about ruining your relationship. And it's not worth it if you can start on the front end with that. So have you talked to her about doing this?
You know, I've given her some ideas, like, but most of them have been based around me being under a mentor first and then kind of doing my own side hustle kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then maybe branching out from there. Of course she's in support of it. You know, we kind of joke about this, but we, you know, we're always like, maybe one day, you know, like when I open up my own place, she can just come work for me in some form, you know?
Sure.
You know, she's getting pretty burned out with the nursing life. We all know how that can be. So
yes,
it's very difficult for them as well. So yeah, it's definitely been a conversation we've had because I try to be transparent with her and she tries to be transparent with me about a lot of our life goals. So
I think another big, piece of this is, planning, right? So mm-hmm. goal planning and planning sessions. And so, okay, in 3 years, let's say 3 years from now, we talk on this podcast again, what would be an absolute slam dunk for you to be able to have accomplished professionally?
Man, 3 years from now. You know, honestly, at that point, professionally, I would love to be doing my own thing. That would be, you know, even if it's just with, like, say, with a friend from class, say, with someone that I've met along in my professional career. But it would be awesome to kind of be doing my own business. Maybe not, you know, even if we didn't have per se, like a facility that we could call our own, but like the idea that we had within our group, maybe if we, even if we had to kind of do concierge style almost, and just as long as it was me kind of having the education and the confidence and just really like the autonomy to, call my own work days, you know, and, treat the patients that I want to treat and treat them the way I feel that's best for them and how I really believe that they can get better that way. And then, you know, definitely working in some capacity with multiple levels of athletes of some sort, you know, it doesn't have to be like team sports, whatever. But I'm, you know, I've mentioned this to you when we worked together in the past with, you know, definitely working with like military aspect or, you know, law enforcement, policemen, firemen, all those guys, you know, they're their own kind of like tactical athlete in their own way. So it would be definitely that's kind of like where my goal is right now in 3 years from now. So
what would be the complete opposite of what you would want to be doing in 3 years?
No offense to anyone that does this, but man,
you can say whatever you want. It's a podcast. It's just literally say whatever you want.
I know, man. But you know, some people are like, "Hey, I love my corporate job at this, you know, big corporate PT place." But honestly, like, I just don't want to be caught up in that. You know, I get it. You know, some people love the volume and whatnot, but I just, with all the experience I've had with it so far and what I see and certain things that they preach as what they consider best practice, I just don't agree with it. And I'm pretty passionate about that. So
what don't you agree with? So are you talking about the volume in general, or are you talking about like,
you know, people say like, yeah, I can see three people an hour, four people an hour, and I can still give them quality care. And you know what? Some people might be able to, but the stuff that I see that they call quality care, it just doesn't fit in with like the model that I think is like, wait, why are you doing that? Like, why are you just doing a bunch of, you know, to quote Dr. Jewett, Travis over there, you know, TheraBand masturbation and all that. Like, why are you just doing that kind of stuff?
I've never heard him say that. He's a
man, you got to read his book. Come on, Danny.
I probably should do that.
No, I'm messing with you. He probably quoted it a different way, but anyway, it's just, there's so many things that I just see that I'm just like, why are they doing that for this patient? Is it just because they come in with neck pain and everyone with neck pain is the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no like, and again, don't, you know, I'm sure there's great PTs out there that can do this kind of stuff. I just haven't seen it. So
I think there's a lot more that are just frankly unhappy. I mean, in my, I don't know. I don't really think that that's a situation that a lot of people want to be in for a long period of time. I worked in a situation like that for about a year as an intern. And man, I tell you, dude, by like 8 to 12 months in, just burnt out.
Yeah. I mean, just mentally, physically, like I can't imagine doing that day in and day out. And then, you know, being able to be motivated to be like, hey, let me learn more.
Right.
I would love to, like, I definitely want to treat all these patients during the week and then spend my weekend trying to expand my knowledge base. I just don't see myself doing that. And you know what? If there are people out there that can do that and can do it well, that's awesome. More power to them. I hate you, but I just don't have that kind of, I just don't have that kind of energy. So honestly, I just don't agree with that. So.
Well, there's got to be a better way, man. I think, you know, the cash PT model, obviously, that's what our practice is. I think is has some pros to it, you know, in terms of being able to work with people in a one-on-one capacity, them obviously valuing what you do because they are paying out of pocket for it. You know, the being able to work with the individuals you really like to work with, you can kind of niche down and be real specific and enjoy your day really well. But man, you know, it's also alienating to a certain subgroup of people that, you know, I would enjoy working with, that you do get a chance to work with in a practice where they're taking insurance. It's just a matter of, man, finding that middle ground. I don't know if it exists. I'm not really sure if it does at this point, but at this point, I think that's probably the best bet for a lot of people that want to work in that capacity, especially if you're talking about you're kind of straddling, you know, two disciplines of traditional physical therapy and training conditioning, right?
So
you live in this gray area, and that gray area, some of the things that we do, you know, insurances may say, that's not really physical therapy, you know?
Exactly.
Is it training? I don't know. Is it, it's hard to say. It's kind of progressions and regressions of human movement and where they're at on the spectrum, you know? So I would be interested to see where you're at in a couple of years. I think this is going to be interesting for us to see where you go. I don't know, man. What is there anything, you know, that you really think skill wise should be added to your program for people like yourself that are interested a little bit more in the kind of business setting realm when they get out?
You trying to get me in trouble, Danny?
Hey, I don't even know anybody down there. Georgia State. Listen up, man. Listen up. Dave's about to spit the truth.
Man.
You're about to graduate. You can say whatever you want. You're going to have senioritis.
Yeah, that's true. But they can still hold me back if they wanted to.
That's true. That's it. We'll release this after.
Yeah. To improve business-wise, you know what? I wish it was more than just one class.
You think it should be an elective? Do you think it should be something that everybody does, or it should be something that's just, you know?
Well, one thing, I think definitely, I'm so glad that they didn't make it just an elective, because I think everyone should be exposed to this side of it, regardless if they have no desire whatsoever to do their own thing or to even consider opening up their own practice or whatnot. But that being said, you know, I wish maybe it would be great if they could have, like, someone come in and speak, like, with sales, you know, like sales experience, and being able to say, like, hey, look, like, this is how you sell yourself to other people. This is how you can, like, you know, different techniques like body language, you know,
sure,
the language that you use, or just like the verbal languages, maybe just the nuances and what you say, like what kind of grabs people's attention more, like presentation wise, like say, like you come in with a great idea, but you're sitting there using PowerPoint and people are like, I can't believe this dude is bringing in a PowerPoint to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? But that's kind of what we're programmed to do while we're in school, right? PowerPoint. So, if someone could come in and, you know, give us more education on how, like, to really present business ideas in an engaging, exciting way that's different than just a, hey, let me bring you some cookies, slap on this PowerPoint, go through, like, clicking. So,
Cookies are always good.
donuts, right? Donuts from Revolution Donuts.
Revolution Donuts and cookies. No, I mean, dude, I agree. I love that idea. I see the profession kind of progressing forward somewhat with that. I think there's some external resources that are also, you know, a viable option for PT students. And but you know, I look at the stats. There's like over 11,000 PT students that will graduate this year. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's a huge profession now.
11,000, unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's harder to get into school. You know, programs are trying to make their classes bigger. Not necessarily a great thing in my opinion, but hey, you know, that's the way it goes.
What's your class size?
We're actually at 35 right now.
So 35, and it's 35 per year?
Well, see, actually the class below us, they bumped it up to about 40, and they might have gone up a little bit more on the for the first years.
Yeah.
Now, so you know, I get it. They're trying to, you know, accommodate more people maybe. I know it's also, maybe I'm talking out of line here, but it's also more money for the school.
Well, I mean, it's just math, right? It's simple math. Right. Like, it's okay. Right. It costs this much per person. You have this many more people. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how all that stuff works with a state-run program versus a private school. Or, I mean, I'm sure they got to keep the lights on somehow and pay their faculty. Yeah. You know,
exactly,
so
man.
I know it is what it is. That, you know, in that respect, but. But no, man, I mean, this is a good conversation. I'm glad we could chat. I'm glad we could talk about this. I hope that this answers some of the questions that, you know, we get emails about in terms of, you know, PT students are looking to do something similar. Honestly, this conversation may lead to more questions. But you know, there's just more people out there like you than you probably think. And it's interesting for me to see it as somebody that gets people to reach out to me about this stuff. So I wanted to talk to you and really get into what your thoughts were on private practice. And in many cases, it's this internal kind of hang up that we have with our own confidence level that is the determining factor between people that actually go and are successful and those that are not, you know? But I will say one thing before we wrap it up. There's a right way to go about trying to, you know, connect with a mentor or like myself. I get reached out to by PT students frequently, and there's the wrong way to do it. And David went about it the right way. And I'll tell you, he came in to see me as an actual client for a shoulder thing he had going on, and was trying to do this Strong First program. And that means, you know, he saw what I did was valuable, and as a student, I totally respect that because it's not exactly, you know, in the budget for a PT student. And what he didn't say was, hey, can I talk to you for an hour? You know, like, so the fact that somebody's able to show that they're interested in learning from me, whatever capacity that is, and bring, you know, value in their own way associated with that is so big. You know, so if you are looking for a mentor, if you're looking for somebody to reach out to, please don't make the mistake of just thinking that they have all this free time, because in many cases they don't. So I have to give you kudos for that, man. Like, I totally respect the way you did it. And, you know, and you've popped up in multiple places now. This, you come in, hung out with us in the clinic. You came to a weightlifting course that we had. We're going to have to go and do some kettlebell training here in the near future. And we can work on all the stuff that you learned at Strong First. That'd be great. But yep. But no, this was great, man. I appreciate your time. This was awesome.
No, I appreciate your time, Danny. I know that you got a lot going on too, man. So I really appreciate you having me on.
All right, talk to the old lady about starting a practice. Make sure she's on the same page with you.
And I will, man.
Not doing her ruin anything. And guys, thanks so much for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. We'll catch you next time.